Wake Up Call continues now on the SportsMap Radio Network.
Time for the good.
That's really nice.
The bad.
That's the bad guy.
And the dumb.
What an idiot. Oh, what a loser.
Good, the bad, the dumb time here on a Tuesday. Oh, I think we went over a lot of good, bad, and dumb in hour number one, but that's not the good, the bad, and the dumb. This is what's the good of the day, my friend.
Well, we got to stray away from football just a little bit.
All right.
Now, but this first story actually does deal with football. It may not be good for your Amazon Prime account out there, people, but it's certainly a whole lot of good for legendary sportscaster Al Michaels.
Oh, my God, yes.
Who is rumored, we don't know the figures just yet, but rumored to get an eight-figure deal from Amazon to cover Thursday Night Football.
Why in the world? Why are these companies overpaying this? Al Michaels, you don't need to pay him eight figures to do this.
But he's going to get it.
He's Al Michaels, and you want to show off your top broadcasting team, right? But again, it's like, okay, if I see Tom Cruise in a movie, I may go, it's Tom Cruise. He makes good movies. I'll go see him. And they pay him $30 million, right?
Yeah.
Because he's a box office star. If you like Will Smith or if you like Leonardo DiCaprio.
The Rock
or whatever it is you like, those stars are worth it because you're going to see them as well as the story. Who in the world tunes into a broadcast of a football game just for the announcers?
Yeah.
Like who says, man, I don't even like football, but Al Michaels, I could listen to him read the phone book. So I will watch. You're watching it for the game. I mean, again, I'm all for broadcaster salaries because that's what I do. But my Lord, it's like they can't spend enough money on Buck and Michaels and Tirico and everybody else.
Yeah, now listen, see, I know when I was in high school, I took this for granted, but I had probably the greatest announcer ever calling my favorite team's games.
Right.
On the radio and Vin Scully. But I didn't tune. I would have listened to the Dodgers play anyways.
Did Vin Scully even make close to that amount of money?
No, of course not.
Broadcasting the Dodgers?
Of course not.
Like even when he was on NBC calling the World Series, I bet he was nowhere near. I mean, obviously in the 80s, it's even adjusted for inflation. I bet he didn't even make. Eight figures.
He never came close to eight figures. Yeah.
And Al Michaels is getting this kind of money in his late 70s.
Like, yeah, 77.
Incredible. Like, incredible. He's still chugging along.
What's he going to do with it, guys?
Right?
I mean, I'm not to
sit back, be retired.
Not to be the morbid one here, but, you know, he's not going to be able to spend that money.
Right.
Exactly. He's already got a comfortable living. And
this guy has been on network television for over 40 years.
Yep.
Like,
I think
40
longer
years.
Than that, right? And did we...
Well,
I think we talked about a story a couple weeks ago. Wasn't he doing he was a part of a game show or something?
In the 70s.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, that's 50 years.
Well, 50 years is 72. So was he doing stuff in 72?
I think so.
Maybe so.
I think he was doing something in the late
60s. When he was 27, maybe? Like people
think he was
forget.
I think we were talking about it. He was a part of Love Connection.
People forget when he was broadcasting the hockey game. Like, you would watch Al Michaels now and you go, well, what was he, like 22 back? No, he's like, he was in his mid-30s.
Yeah.
When he was calling that hockey game. He wasn't a kid.
When he said, do you believe in miracles?
When he said, do you believe in miracles? I mean, he was a seasoned professional television broadcaster. And it's been an amazing journey.
Yeah.
And now he was at the World Series. Remember, if I'm not mistaken, he was calling the World Series. Yeah, he was. He was calling the World Series in the earthquake of 89. Because he knew San Francisco really well. So when they switched to news, when it went from a sporting event to a news event, he was guiding the broadcast coverage, telling people where certain camera shots were. Like, that's over here. This is part of this district. That's part of that district. That's a fire over in that district. Because he knew the city really well. Really well. He's amazing. He's an amazing broadcaster. Broadcaster.
Now, not to be outdone, I did have to bring up this story because I thought this was funny. And it's not on the same level as when NBC acquired Al Michaels from ABC, right?
Yes.
And a part of that trade was Oswald.
Right. Yeah, the rabbit. Right.
So, but there has been another trade, Tony. I don't know if you know this with regards to Joe Buck, because Joe Buck had a year left on his contract with Fox.
Right.
And in order, I guess, to make the numbers fit, ESPN had to trade something to Fox in order to acquire Joe Buck's services, and that was a Big Ten game.
They had to give one Big Ten game?
Yeah, and it was actually the opening Big Ten game. So September 1st, if you were looking to go to ESPN or, you know,
is that
one,
like
one
Michigan
of their...
against like Appalachian State or something?
No,
like,
it's actually
like
Penn State versus Purdue.
That's not bad.
Not bad, but that's Fox is hoping to, I guess...
That's how much you're worth, Joe Buck.
That'll be the compensation that'll balance out Joe, you know, that last year of Joe Buck's contract.
Wouldn't Joe Buck hope that would be one of those games where you're like, nothing is ever going to top the opening game between Penn State and Purdue?
I'm just wondering how much are they going to bill it?
I don't want to get too much on a tangent because I know we got the bad and the dumb, but and this is just my bias in the broadcast business in terms of the work that's involved and everything. I can't believe that these guys, Buck and Al Michaels, and they must be cool with what they're making, but if there's any level of ego, there's no reason the guy next to them should be making extraordinarily more money than they are.
Yeah.
Like, Buck, there's no reason why he needs to look over at Aikman and see a guy that's making millions and millions and millions of dollars more a year than he is.
I don't think but Buck's making more than Aikman, right?
I don't know. Is he?
God, I hope so.
I think Aikman was, they usually pay the analysts a little more. They get more. I mean, Nance makes much less than Romo does.
Yeah.
And I think Aikman got a better deal. I mean, usually.
Well, I think Buck.
I mean, now the analyst role gets paid more, but it's exponential now. It's crazy now.
Yeah, but I think Buck's making
Buck
eight figures.
Yeah, but Aikman's making eight figures. That doesn't mean anything. What eight
I
figures?
I know. We gotta,
like, it's either $10 million or $20 million.
We're going to do some investigating and find out what these two are making.
I'm not saying that Buck is crying poor.
Oh, no, not at all.
What I'm saying is, if he's making $12 million, Aikman's making $18, $19 million. You know what I mean?
Yeah, no, I hear you.
That's what I'm saying. You know, but
I feel bad. The one thing
he has a harder job and requires more work than Aikman's job.
The one story that did kind of make me giggle a little bit, not giggle, but you know, there's a part of you that does feel bad. Aaron Andrews has got to feel horrible because her two coworkers left.
Yeah, no kidding.
Who's she going to report to?
She's going to be like, thanks, Joe. Oh, I'm sorry, Evan.
Who's taking over Fox?
God. Spiro Dedis, we got your back, man.
Yes.
Come
on, Spiro.
Spiro, jump over.
Leave
over to
CBS. Go get you some of that, you know, close to eight-figure money.
Go get you some of that, Spiro. All right, what is the bad of the day?
The bad of the day, Phil Mickelson.
My boy.
Is not playing in the 2022 The Masters.
Couldn't believe this story when I saw it. I could not believe it. No, and the reason I couldn't believe it was, if there is one place golfers have found a home during their controversial moments, it's The Masters.
Yeah.
Go to Augusta. You can be dealing with whatever PR nightmare you're swimming in. Augusta will be like, come into port, baby. You're a
And he has.
Here.
He has dealt with PR nightmares.
Tiger Woods, when the first tournament he played, coming off the infidelity and all of that, after the accident, the Masters. He knew that he was going to be okay there.
I'm glad you mentioned his name because he is on the list.
Yeah.
So what does that mean?
I hope Tiger plays. I hope he plays something.
I'm just curious.
Even if Tiger played nine holes and just said, that's enough, I can't do it anymore, but I just played nine holes, that's good enough for most people. They'd be fine to see that.
Oh, yeah.
You know?
Just nine hole. I mean, you know, just play the back nine.
Is this Phil Mickelson? I mean, I'm not trying to be naive here. Is this Phil Mickelson thing that bad?
Well,
that's requiring
this? I mean, I guess it's, I don't know if,
like,
it's.
Are there pitchforks and fire sticks?
I don't know if it's
Phil wherever he goes.
I don't know if it's been confirmed. Maybe you do. But is it because the player has the right to withdraw his name?
Right.
So was this on Phil's terms to withdraw his name, or was it the Masters?
No, it's not. No, the Masters doesn't do that. You are invited. If you win that golf tournament, you are invited no matter what.
So is Phil withdrawing his name?
They may, behind the scenes, ask very nicely that you
push you a little bit,
but they would never publicly say, that you can't come. The Masters has nothing to do with the PGA Tour. It has nothing to do. It's its own event. It's its own club. It's its own tournament. It's just one of those unique things in sports where it's like this one country club went, let's have a tournament, invite the world's best, see if they show up, and they do. And Phil pulled out, I think, because he just didn't want to talk about this anymore. I think he wanted to enjoy his time at Augusta, and I don't think he felt like he could.
I know. It's just
like that's what I'm saying. Like that's what I'm saying. Like is his comments, and they were bad, but he apologized. Are we still like, oh, that Phil Mickelson, if I ever see that guy, oh, like, are we doing that?
I feel like it's this, because, you know, there's still, what, 2-3 more weeks until the tournament.
Right.
That if it was never announced that his name was off the list and he just was there, he'd probably have to deal with it for one day.
I would think you sit in front, I think you get with a, your PR team that teaches you how to answer these questions. You come up with some answers and you answer them, and then you get grilled
for
golf.
And you get grilled for that one day, and then you go to golf and you hope that you have a good showing.
When you're the Masters champion, it's the greatest golfing reward that we have. Like the Masters, the locker room, the dinner, the getting to wear the jacket on the grounds, like everything that you get to do as a former champion is worth any type of tough question you get about a Saudi golf league, right? I mean, the dinner alone is, tomorrow's not promised to any one of us. If you have an opportunity to continue to go to a dinner with the greatest collection of golfers that are alive on the planet, you go every year you can. That's why these old guys go to the Masters every year. They force their way to the Masters every year because the dinner alone is unbelievable. So, yeah, that's wild. All right, what's the dumb of the day?
The dumb of the day. I had a couple, but I'll just stick with this one, and then we can bring up the other one later at another point. But Amy Schumer, who I am, okay, I will preface this. I am not an Amy Schumer hater.
No, I'm not either. I like, she's pretty funny.
But she definitely had a tone-deaf moment.
Oh, boy.
She is co-hosting the Oscars this year, which happened to be Sunday.
Is it really Sunday?
Yeah, this coming Sunday.
I lost my track of time.
The Oscars will appear, and she's co-hosting it with, I think, Regina Hall and Wanda Sykes. And she was recently, I don't know what talk show she was on, but she recently admitted on this talk show that she reached out to Ukrainian President Volodymyr Zelensky about appearing at the Oscars via satellite, either live or taped.
She wanted Zelensky, who's in the middle of a war,
yeah,
to appear at the Academy Awards.
Well, you know, because he just appeared in front of Congress. So she thought, you know, hey, we have a platform where there's a lot of eyes and ears to kind of direct attention to what's going on in Ukraine.
Wait a minute. That's not a terrible idea.
It's a terrible idea, but...
I mean, she's right. Well, there's a lot less eyeballs on the Oscars these days, but it's still a good worldwide audience.
I don't think he needs to appear worldwide to pitch, you know, what's going on. I think, you know, that's pretty well covered. I think he appeared in front of Congress because for other reasons, you know.
Yeah, but he could also make the appeal to the world of like money, aid, pressure your government. Like that, like he can, it's still.
But I think they're going to do that anyways. I don't know if you need him. I don't know. I found it kind of odd.
Isn't it better if you can get him rather than.
True.
Like, who listens to these people anymore?
You mean actors and actresses?
True. Like, everyone rolls their eyes at them when they get political. Like, when they get their award and then they go on some political speech.
Yeah.
We go click.
Well, actually, you almost get turned off.
Like, take your award and get out of here.
Like, Frances McDormand, I'm getting kind of annoyed with every time she wins.
Absolutely. If you see Zelensky on a screen and he's like, pressure your governments to help us with X, Y, and Z, maybe that works.
Maybe.
But I don't think he's going to be available.
He's kind of, yeah, I think he's busy.
I think he's busy. You never know what he's doing in any particular moment.
Or where he actually is. I mean,
right, exactly.
Got to imagine he's hiding somewhere within the city still.
These stars. Why doesn't he just get on a plane and fly to Hollywood?
Yeah, why not? Right? I mean, he's an actor.
Right? Yeah,
I'm sure he has credentials to
be
invited.
I'm sure he's a member of SAG.
Yeah.
Goodness gracious. It's awful. All right, that's the good, the bad, and the dumb. Again, we'll talk Cleveland Browns coming up later on in the shower as we continue with Wake Up Call.